trees. So, you know, it's getting springtime, and springtime for me has always been marked by one thing. If you grew up in this area, springtime is always marked by the Cherry Blossom Festival, right? Which is funny that I'm saying that because it's probably going to get canceled, right? It already is. Okay, so Cherry Blossom Festival is always marked spring here in this area. And if you're old school enough to know, you remember it when it was back at the old Maxell property, right? We actually had cherry trees at the Cherry Tree Festival, at the Cherry Blossom Festival. But the Cherry Blossom Festival holds a lot of just fun memories for me. I remember being a kid, and they had a pageant. I don't even know if they do this anymore, but they had a pageant that went along with the Cherry Blossom Festival, and you had all these little pretty girls running around with their dresses on. They were cherry blossom princesses or queens. And one year, my cousin won, and she was crowned the Cherry Blossom Queen. So we're all, you know, hanging out at the Cherry Blossom Festival, and there goes my cousin in her little antebellum-looking dress, and we're like, oh, it's my cousin. Another year, there was a radio station DJing from the Cherry Blossom Festival. And, you know, back then you thought, oh, it's the DJ that you hear on the radio. They're famous. So I remember going up and meeting them thinking, you know, that's like the first famous person that I've ever met, but it was really just the radio DJ. But anyway, they had a dance contest. And back in the day, your boy used to have some moves. I know you may not, it may not look like it now with the bald head and the graying, but I used to have some moves, y'all. And I won that dance contest. I did, so I'm not showing you any of my moves, but years later at the Cherry Blossom Festival, Melissa and I had gotten married, and we'd built a house, and she was pregnant with our first, and he was due just like within a month or so. But I remember as we were about to leave the Cherry Blossom Festival, they had a bunch of cherry trees off to the side. Like some seedlings that weren't, you know, they weren't very big. And I thought, because I'm super sentimental, I thought, hey, I'm going to buy a couple of these trees. I'm going to plant them in the yard, and they're going to grow with Cohen. And, you know, when he's 10, I'll go back and say, look, that tree's 10 too. And so I bought a couple trees from the Cherry Blossom Festival. And then we get them home, and you know, so we just recently built a house or whatever, so the yard is bare, it's just grass. And I remember trying to find the right spots to plant these trees in the yard. And I wanted to plant one kind of toward his bedroom that faced the road. And so I found a spot and I planted it there. And then I found a spot on the other side of the yard, and you know, just tried to make sure they're nice and symmetrical, but not too matchy, and just put way too much effort into planting these trees, y'all. But anyway, we got the trees planted, and, you know, every so often I'd go out and I'd water them and take care of them. Well, you know, over time and over years, I realized that I'd found a really good place for one tree and a not-so-great place for the other tree. So the tree that I had planted near Cohen's bedroom was kind of down in a little bit of a valley where the backyard, if there was any drainage, it would drain off and go that way. And the adjacent property was kind of slanted. So everything kind of made its way down this channel to where this tree was planted. And then in addition to that, we also had our septic tank out that way. So it constantly was flowing water over to where this tree was planted. Well, the other tree was on the other side of the yard, a little bit higher up on some ground, closer to where our parking pad was and driveway, and it didn't fare as well. It didn't win the planting lottery. So years passed, and these same two trees, you began to see a very noticeable difference in the look of them. So the good tree, as we'll call it, by Cohen's window, it had better blooms, had larger, thicker, longer branches. When time came in the spring for it to blossom, man, it just put on a show. It's about as beautiful as it could be. It's the tree that in all of our Easter pictures every year when we added a kid, we would take our picture by this tree because it was just beautiful. As the kids got a little bit bigger, they would, it actually got to the point where I would cut a couple of the limbs, the lower limbs off, so it would be a little bit higher up off the ground, and there was a space between the ground and the where the limbs would start. But I remember the kids like having little picnics out there and just hanging out under the tree, and that tree got all of our attention. It's where we would go and play, and it got all of our family's attention. All the while its weaker brother sat on the other side of the yard and didn't look much different than it did from when we first planted the tree. Two trees. They all started off the exact same size seedlings. If I had money to bet, I'd bet they were planted at the nursery the exact same day. They were most likely harvested the same day, sent to the same festival, bought by me the same day, put in the ground the same day. They went through the same storms, the same seasons, the same winters, the same challenges. The only difference between the two trees was where they were planted. It's the only difference. One was in good soil, and the other was planted in the wrong place. You see, the mighty tree had a constant water flow source. And when we left that house a couple years ago, it's still on the same road that we live on now, so I still look up and still see the trees. But when we left that house a couple years ago, the good tree was now well above the roof line. And the other tree was maybe a quarter of the size that it should be at best. It stalled out, and it was a fraction of its potential. So today is week two of the Planted series, and today's message is going to be called Planted by the River. Planted by the River. You know, there's lots of imagery and references in the Bible about trees and rivers, and most of the time when it's talking about trees, it's talking about people. And a good bit of the time when it's referencing a river, it's talking about the source or our source, God, Jesus, the river of life, the river of living waters, the river of God, full of life. It's always those images. I want to take you guys to Psalm 1, verses 2 and 3. But whose delight is the law of the Lord, who meditates on his law day and night? That person is like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yield its fruit in season and whose leaves do not wither. Whatever they do prospers. So we've got this image of a tree planted by a stream of water, and it prospers. I want to take you guys to Jeremiah 17, verses 7 and 8. When you trust in God, you are like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots towards the stream. You will not fear times of heat or drought, and nor will you cease to bear fruit. Even in drought, even in heat, your roots are towards the stream. You will not cease bearing fruit. It's funny, last week I kind of had the impression that I was going to be preaching this week because I had the intuition to know that, you know, pastors, they're going out of town for a funeral. So what are some things that I want to start talking about? I know the Planted series was here, and so I immediately thought of the reference to the cedar and the palm. And then I sat through Pastor's message last week, and he referenced it, and I said, okay, I can't do that. And then there was something else he referenced, and I said, well, okay, I can't do that either. So it's been a fun week studying about trees in the Bible this week. So, but our main text today is going to come from Ezekiel, the 47th chapter of Ezekiel. It says, the man brought me back to the entrance of the temple, and I saw water coming out from under the threshold of the temple, the church, towards the east, for the temple faced east. The water was coming down from under the south side of the temple, south of the altar. And then he brought me out through the north gate and led me around the outside of the outer gate facing east, and the water was trickling from the south side. Verse 3, as the man went eastward with a measuring line in his hand, he measured out 1,000 cubits and then led me through the water that was ankle deep. He measured off another 1,000 cubits and led me through water that was knee deep. And he measured off another 1,000 and he led me through water that was up to the waist. He measured off another 1,000 and now it was a river that I could not cross because the water had risen and was deep enough to swim in, a river that no one could cross. So here we are. Ezekiel's having this vision of being shown a river, and every 1,000 cubits is similar to a quarter mile. So every so often it's slowly getting deeper, and it came out from the church. As it went out, it got a little deeper and deeper, moving from just a trickle to and being shallow to being a mighty river where no one could cross its current. So several applications of what this river represents. It represents, of course, it says, you know, coming out of the temple. It talks about being a vision for New Jerusalem or heaven. But today, for our purposes, I want you to think of this river, and I want you to think about the river being the church. Specifically, the church at Covington. Ezekiel wrote about this vision about 600 years before the birth of Christ. And at that time, the land was filled with power grabs. And for several years, there were kings replacing each other. And each one had their own agenda. And they were trying to stomp out religion. And then the next one would come and he'd try to put in his own type of religion. And so I want you guys to realize that this vision was not written in a time when Ezekiel is sitting on a hill overlooking this beautiful river and he's just inspired. No, life was happening. Ugly life was happening when Ezekiel was having this vision. Ezekiel's life was hard. He was exiled. His wife died during his ministry. He lived through the fall of Jerusalem, but through it all, he constantly encouraged people that they had a need of repentance and to have faith. So picking back up at verse 6, he says, he asked me, son of man, do you see this? Then he led me back to the bank of the river, and when I arrived there, I saw a great number of trees on each side of the river. Now I want to skip to verse 12. It says, fruit trees of all kinds will grow on both banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither, nor will their fruit fail. Every month they will bear fruit because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. Their fruit will serve for food and their leaves for healing. You see, when you're planted by the river, you have no choice but to grow. When you're planted in the right spot, all you do is grow. It's a byproduct of where you're planted. You're not trying to grow. You're not putting effort into it. It just happens because you're planted in the right place. Growth is just a byproduct of the connection you have to the river. When you put roots down and stay put, growth happens naturally. Simply by being connected to the river. So whether we're intentional or not, we're all sitting in some type of ground, right? Whether you're intentionally planted by the river or intentionally planted in church, you're planted somewhere. Some of us, we plant for a couple hours a week. And then just like Pastor mentioned last week about being in pots, we pick ourselves up, we dig up our roots, and we go plant somewhere else real quick. Temporarily moving around all the time. When we do things like that, we can't grow to our full potential. Some of us choose to sit in soil that has no nutrients. So we've been sitting in the same place for years and years and years, but like my poor little tree back at home, it's just not growing. because there's no nutrients. You're not planted in the right place. And then some of us were planted in the wrong environment totally. We're planted in places where the soil is poisoned and it's slowly killing us. When I wrote this today, I thought about, you guys remember several years back when anybody in here an Auburn fan? No? Like two? One? For whatever reason, one of my kids is an Auburn fan. Have no idea why. He just is adamant he's going to Auburn. He loves it. So we were on our trip going to the beach one year, and we bypassed and went to Auburn just so he could go check out the campus and walk around and take pictures. But, you know, right there outside of Auburn, they've got those big trees, right? Those big oak trees that they would throw toilet paper over and just celebrate anytime they'd have a win. There were these huge, massive trees that for years were there, and then some crazy Alabama fan, nothing on you, Jennifer. I know you're an Alabama fan, but some crazy Alabama fan got mad and went and poisoned the trees. So they tried and tried and tried to save the trees, but replacing the soil, but it was too late. They were planted in poison and they died. So when we took Cruz to go check it out, they had planted the new trees and they were beautiful, but they were nothing compared to what the trees used to be. But some of us are planted in poison. The ground has been poisoned, and not only are we not growing, we're dying. When we plant ourselves in the wrong environment, we stifle our potential. But the good news is when we're planted in the right setting by the river, we have no choice but to grow. So let's take a look back at verse 12. Fruit trees of all kind will grow on both banks of the river. Their leaves will not wither. Their fruit will not fail. Every month they will bear fruit because the water from the sanctuary flows to them. Their fruit will serve for food and their leaves for healing. So today I just want to take that one verse and break it down a little bit. So point one, we need to grow by the river. We need to grow by the river. Verse 12 says we're supposed to be planted by the riverbanks. And if we're going by that verse, y'all, you're a fruit tree. Surprise, you're a fruit tree. We were created to abide alongside the river. We're not supposed to be up on the hill. As pretty as that may look to you, we're not supposed to be in the desert. We're not supposed to be that pretty oak tree out in the meadow. No, we're supposed to be fruit trees by the river. Because daily we need to draw from that river. Every day. Every day. God created us to be wonderful. We're fearfully and wonderfully made, but we're made to draw daily from Him. We're made to draw daily from our source, from the church. We're supposed to be planted here. This is where we draw what we need. To be everything we were created to be, we have to be planted by the river. You might be planted somewhere other than the river and it's not going well for you. You know why? Because you were never made to be a cactus in the desert. You were never made to be anything other than a fruit tree planted by the riverside. That's what we were created to be. You weren't made to live in dry dirt. We were created to draw daily from living water. Our root system is made to be so that we pull our roots toward that river. And we get what we need when we come to the house and we worship and we throw our hands up and we're watered by the living water. So being planted doesn't mean jumping from river to river, right? Being planted doesn't mean I'm going to come jump in this river for a minute and then next week I'm going to go jump in that river and then I'm not going to see a river for 2 or 3 weeks. No, we're supposed to be daily connected in the same place. So point two, so grow by the river, point one. Point two, our leaves are not supposed to wither. Our leaves are not supposed to wither. You guys just know fragile people. You guys know anybody that's just a fragile person? Fragile folks aren't planted in the right soil. And what I mean by that, I'm not talking about when you grow weary, because there's times when we do grow weary. I understand that. Some of us are weary now, but being weary, we still know our source. Being weary, we still know who to draw from, but we're not fragile to the touch. Storms around us can't make us topple over and die. We might get blown around, we might get pushed around, but our trunk is stable, right? We don't just fall apart at the news of something. Isaiah 40, 31 says, "Those that hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint." I know there's times when we're concerned. I know there's times when things don't go well in our life. But if you're planted where we're supposed to be planted, you're not going to be bent over. You're not going to be thrown about. Your leaves are not going to wither. We get everything we need from the river. We're not just going to dry up because the season changes. Yes, we get tired and bad things come, but we know our source and we draw strength from it. You know, I'm not all that old, but there's been times in my life where situations look bleak. We've gone through diagnosis of cancer for my mom. And 6 months later, get a call from my sister crying, "Brian, I've got cancer too." What? What? There's been times when I've had my kid in the back of the ambulance, not knowing what to do, just knowing we're rushing them to the hospital because something's wrong. There's been times when the wind has blown us around. I remember specifically having Cohen and Ava already, and Melissa was pregnant with Cruz, and getting the news that, "Brian, your department's being laid off. I'm sorry, but we're giving you a package." So here I am thinking, well, I've got two little ones. I've got Melissa. I've got, oh my gosh, we got to go to the hospital and have a baby with no insurance. So there's been times, but through all of that, I know my source. I know my source. I see clouds coming and forming, but I'm not blown about. I'm not starting to shed my leaves because I know the storm's going to come, but it's going to pass. Right? So my mom's okay. My sister's okay. I ended up getting a brand new job the next week at the same company. God is there and He protects and He watches us. All we've got to do is get planted by the riverside. If we're potted and the storm comes, the storm's going to blow us over. Our leaves aren't supposed to wither. Something's wrong if we fall apart at every time we hear bad news. We shouldn't self-destruct. I understand that our world right now, it's scary. It can be. I understand it. But as Christians, as trees planted by the river, somebody needs to see our fruit and somebody needs to see our leaves aren't falling off. Right? We can take precautions. We can get our 5 loaves of bread and our 16 packs of toilet paper, but we don't need to be fazed because we know God's got it. Come what may, what I want to look like in a storm is I want to look the same way that I look on a sunny day. The wind may be blowing me around. You might catch me on a bad day. I understand that. The wind may be shaking, but I'm not blowing over. I look the same on a sunny day as I do in the middle of the storm. So if you look at yourself and you say, "That's not me, Pastor Brian. That's not me. I'm not there yet." Well, I encourage you, come get planted by this river. There is room alongside the riverbank for you. Number 3, our fruit won't fail. Matthew 7, 16 through 20 says, "You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, and bad trees bear bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree can't bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. I've already told you, you're not a cactus. You are a fruit tree. You are an apple tree. You're an orange tree. You can be a lemon tree if you want to, but you are a fruit tree. And you don't have to be supernatural. Listen to this. You don't have to be supernatural to see people's fruits. You don't have to be super spiritual. You don't have to come off of a 21-day fast to have spiritual eyes. You can walk around and see people's fruits. Am I right? People can try to trick you and put on a show and try to present their fruit as something else, but you can see the fruit of being planted in the wrong place. Right? And I'm going to give you a little bit of news. Just because somebody's in church building doesn't mean they are planted right. There's been times that just folks that I know from being in the church world, I will be in a store in Home Depot and I'll see somebody and immediately go, whoop, turn around because I don't want nothing to do with that fruit. Drama, rebellion, wrong spirits, addiction, sin. Be careful. People are showing their fruit. I heard a pastor say a while ago, and I just carried around with me now in my back pocket. It's just such good advice. Don't take advice from people you wouldn't trade places with. Don't take advice from people you wouldn't trade places with. In other words, don't go to a rotten fruit tree and ask for planting advice. Don't ask them questions about how to garden. You leave those folks alone. We can pray for them, but don't get advice from people like that. We're asking barren trees that haven't grown in years to give us advice on what we should do. No, you go find you somebody planted in the church that's been there on the riverbank for 50 years. And you go ask them, and you confide in them, and you talk to them about what you should be doing. That's where you should be getting advice from. But the world needs to see people with good fruit. World needs to see people with good fruit. How'd you grow those beautiful apples? I've never seen a tree so full of fruit. How did you do it? People are constantly looking. Let's show them our good fruit, and we get good fruit by being planted in the house. So that's my 3 points for you today. So in closing, we were created to grow into strong, mighty trees with deep, deep, vast root systems that turn toward the river. Our strength draws solely from the river, and we need it daily. Jesus, church, we are supposed to be close to both. Our strength is not self-made. It only draws from the Lord. We aren't supposed to be out by ourselves. We're not supposed to be planted in sand. We're not supposed to be planted on the hill by ourselves. We're planted among all the other trees on the riverbank. And a side note real quick. I have this thought. And then I went and researched it, and there's a bunch of other pastors that had it too, so I felt like, oh man. But sometimes being planted feels a lot like being buried. There's not a whole lot of difference in that hole at first, right? You might feel some pressure. You're definitely going to feel some darkness. You might feel squeezed upon. But if you are planted in the right place, you just hold on a minute. You just hold on a minute because something's about to happen. You're going to start feeling something and it's going to start moving up and you're going to sprout out and start blooming. Don't get discouraged today because you make that decision. All right, I'm going to get planted in the house. Don't get discouraged when you start feeling attacked. It might feel dark for a minute, but just hold on. Y'all, the past couple months, I really feel like God's doing something in mine and Melissa's life that he's been preparing us for years. Like there's been, Lord have mercy, it was Super Bowl Sunday. I just fell apart in church. And Melissa looked over at me and was like, are you okay? It wasn't anything those athletes were talking about. It was just finally the Lord showed me, Brian, I've been telling you for years that this is happening and it's here. It's happening to you. It's happening. So, of course, when God elevates us and starts increasing our territory, immediately attacks started happening to us. Health, mine and Melissa's health, our kids' health, just crazy things started happening. We just started having spiritual attacks. And there was one day at home, we just looked at each other and was like, just kind of laughing about it, like, we're being attacked. But even in that attack, we know, I mean, we can pray and we can do all those things that we know to do and we've been taught to do, but we just have faith that it's going to be okay. God's increasing our territory. Of course the attacks are going to come. They're not going to prevail. We're going to be okay. But when you take a step and you get planted in the right place, you're going to face some attacks. So just go ahead and know that. Don't get discouraged. It's going to happen. Don't get buried. Get planted. And when I was studying for this message, I started studying the types of trees that are planted by rivers, that do well by rivers. And there were some similar characteristics among all of them. And it's just, I was thinking, man, this is good. This is good. God, this is good. So trees that are planted by the river, they have vast root systems that stretch out and they pull towards the water. They just happen to know where they're planted and they start pushing their roots toward that source. How about we be just like those trees? They're hardy. Trees that are planted by water, they're hardy trees. They're disease and pest resistant. They have thick skins and tough outer shells. They're tough as nails. They grow fast. And they're adaptable. Church, how about we be tough as nails and hardy and resistant to pest, and we grow fast and not be fragile? Trees that are planted by the river, they're tough trees. Let's be tough trees. Now, right now is a great time to show people our leaves and our fruit. The world has just gone bonkers. And we don't have all the answers right now. We don't. I've got a brand new business I've sunk a lot of money into. We had a handful of jumpers at our place yesterday. And I see the numbers, but I'm not concerned. I'm not worried about it. I'm not worried about it. How long are we going to be isolated? How long are kids going to be out of school? Is there any food in the stores? Am I going to run out of toilet paper? There's so many questions we don't have answers to right now, and I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. So right now in this time, people are watching. Are we going to be cautious and diligent, or are we going to fall apart and fall over and drop all our fruit and let our leaves wither? Are we going to be that, or are we going to stand firm and say, there's no need to fear. I know you're fearful, but God's not giving us a spirit of fear. He's given us love, power, and I've got a sound mind through all of this. I got a sound mind. I'm going to sit at home. I'm going to play with my kids. We're going to grow deeper in our love for each other. We're going to open up that Bible. We're going to have a Bible study together because we got time to now, and we don't have to go to Little League practice. I don't got to go to soccer practice. We're going to just hunker down here and we're going to grow in our faith and we're going to let our roots get deeper. The world needs to see us as Christians stand up right now. Could it be that God uses this thing for His glory? Could it be? And another thing, perfect love drives out all fear. So if you are fearful today, be cautious, I know. Don't shake hands with folks. Don't be licking the rails in the grocery store, or don't do things like that. But let's be the people that God's called us to be, right? I don't know what the weeks look like ahead, but I know we're called to stand tall, show our leaves for healing, and bear our fruit. I want to jump back real quick. I didn't give it to Miss Diane for the screens, but in that same chapter of Ezekiel 47, in that same chapter, it talks more about that river flowing. And it goes to a place that's stagnant. It flows to a stagnant place where nothing is lively. There's nothing growing. There's no fish there. And the river overtakes that place and turns it fresh. And it says that every kind of living creature flourished there where the water flowed. So I want to tell you today, if you're feeling stagnant, if you don't feel like you've felt that river flow in a while, I'm here to tell you at close, come up and pray. Come up and pray and feel that river flow back to you. Feel that river flow back to you. That scripture also talked about there's a place where the river couldn't reach, where it stayed salty and swampy. So look at your neighbor and say, don't be salty. Plant yourself by the river. In closing, this is the last thing I want to say. In Revelation, I told you there's references all over the Bible about trees and rivers. So in Revelation 22, verses 1 through 3 says, then the angel showed me the river of life, showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and to the Lamb, down the middle of the great city, the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life. How amazing is that? That one tree's on both sides. Wow. It must have joined up in the middle somewhere. And there were leaves on the tree that were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curses. I skipped a part where it says it's bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding fruit in each month, and leaves on the tree were there for healings for the nation. No longer will there be a curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be on that city, and His servants will serve Him. It's amazing to me that two completely different places in the Bible, one written 600 years or so before Christ and the other by the Apostle Paul after his death. I don't know the stretch of time, but 600-700 years between these two separate visions, yet the visions are so similar. So similar. Guys, we were created in God's image, and He created us to draw from Him daily. Could it be that He uses us in times of trouble like this for our leaves to be healing for people? People need to see. Well, the kitchens aren't shaking. They got a house full of kids. They're not freaking out. What do they got that I don't have because I'm flipping out over here? What do they got? Look at the Clarks over there. They've got it together. What's different about them? What is it? The world needs to see what we've got in our trees, right? They need to see it, especially now. Especially now. Would you all stand with me? All over this house, if you are feeling a tug, I don't know where you're at in life, but if you're feeling like I'm not where I should be, Brian, I want to be planted by that river you're talking about. There's some yes banners, big tall yeses on each side of the sanctuary. But you guys go get plugged in over there. They've got a book for you, Following Jesus, and some next steps for you. It's going to help you if you want to get planted by the riverside. If you want to just take a few minutes to pray today, the altars are open. But let's leave today being encouraged that we are to be fruit trees full of fruit. Our leaves shining bright green for the world to see. They need to see us. Amen. Amen. Father, we love you today. God, I thank you for where we're at right now, God, because we are primed for a miracle. We are primed for a revival. We are primed for people who need you, who don't know you, to see you, God. We're primed and ready to show you the difference you've made in our lives, God. Lord, be with us. Guide us, Father. Give us great wisdom during this time, Jesus. Lord, in whatever we need to do, Lord, we'll do it. But we'll do it not in fear, God. Be with us in the coming weeks, God. Lord, let us draw from your strength. Let us draw from your river, God, when we feel weary, God. But we love you in this place today, God. We lift up your name, Jesus. You are mighty and greatly to be praised, God. We give you glory. We give you honor. Lord, go with us and be with us today. Be with Pastor and his family as they travel back home. Be with all our families, God, this week as we deal with kids being out of school. And Lord, just be with us. Guide us in this place, God, over our doctors and our nurses and our physician assistants, God. Supernatural protection in the name of Jesus. Supernatural covering right now, God. Right now, in the name of Jesus, God, we love you, Jesus, and we stand here on the riverbank with our branches stretched wide, and we say, we're here to show you, Jesus, to reveal your glory. We love you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Church, go and be blessed today.